actually going to start reading verse 38, Acts 2 and 38. Amen. If you got to say amen, what the word says, it says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward or perverse generation." Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued, somebody say continued. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued, or they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily. Somebody say daily. Added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your presence in this house. We thank you for your glory encamping among us, God. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. And we bless your name, God. Holy is your name. Anoint me to speak this word in season to your people. God, let it not be on the enticing words of man's wisdom, but Father, in demonstration of your love, power, spirit, and anointing. Also, Lord, we pray to be with our pastor. God, be with him there where he is. Surround him with your glory. Give him fresh visitations from you, God. Pour into him fresh revelation from you, God. I speak your angels to surround him and protect him from all harm and all evil. Guide him everywhere he goes. And I declare over him, no weapon formed against him shall prosper. And I speak strength over him right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that you're going to bring him back to us safe and sound. And we give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. May be seated in the presence of the Lord. Again, today I want to talk about the subject of don't let revival die. Don't let revival die. First question I ask is, what is revival? What is revival? Is it something where, you know, every week we hear of a church in our community? Because you think between Bell County, Harlan County, Lee County, Claiborne County, every kind of county around here, that there are hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of churches. And now we're entering into the spring season, and you hear revival here, revival there, revival everywhere. You know, everywhere someone's in revival, nobody's getting saved, nobody's getting filled with the Holy Spirit, nobody's getting delivered, nobody's getting changed. But, well, I enjoyed that good sermon he preached, and everybody shouted the place down, but nothing happened that could shake the community. Nothing happened that could shake a generation. Nothing happened where people were stepping into accepting their calling to the ministry. Nobody getting saved. Nobody getting healed. Everybody just coming and have their feel-good service. But to me, that's not what revival is. Amen. Revival is when someone or something that is dead comes to life. Revival is when the Spirit of God comes into place and we lose sight of our agenda. We lose sight of what we're going to do, and God wrecks our routine. God wrecks our plan, and he shows up and people just come and they worship God and they fall flat on their face and say, "Holy is your name," and they seek to harmonize with the angels of God. And to me, that's what revival is. And see, I grew up in a Pentecostal background, and some of you have too. Amen. Revival can be a loose word. Amen. And people, and especially from the Pentecostal background, because I can say that because that's my background, so I can talk about our people. Amen. To testify. Let me testify just a moment. We got God in a box. If God doesn't shake you from here to there, then it's not God. Amen. But for God to shake me, I got to know how to praise God for him to come down into our midst. Amen. We think, well, if they don't prophesy in King James Version, then it's not the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whoa, come on now. Woo. Come on now. I remember mom and dad telling me of a story, and I'm not going to mess it up too bad, but I remember them telling a story of where a woman prophesied of, she prophesied over a man and said, "Thou hast said thou art not too big for thine britches, but now I say unto thee, thou art too big for thine britches." And I said, well, the Holy Ghost just turned King James and redneck all in one statement. Amen. But that's where we've come to in the church. God has to shake me this way. God has to speak like this. God has to, it's like we want revival, but we want to tell God how to do it, what to do it, when we want it. When you get a good taste of revival, it's going to be far different than your religious routine and your few little songs and an eloquent sermon and a little altar call and go home. When revival happens, it shakes a generation. It restores a nation. It brings people back to the foot of the cross. To me, that is what revival is. It's not customized to the way we want it, but it makes us feel uncomfortable. It makes us feel discontent. Well, I'm not really satisfied with where I am. Oh, you can have the world, but give me Jesus. And you wake up and it's not just Sunday through Wednesday or Friday through Sunday. No, you gotta wake up on Monday morning and you wake up full of the Holy Ghost. And when you go to bed tonight, you say, man, I praise you. I worship you. I just lose sight of my dreams. I lose sight of my vision. I lose sight of my own schedule because God is just wrecking me when I'm driving down the road and I'm just talking and it's just me and God and I can't hardly drive because tears are streaming down my face because of the glory of God. To me, that's revival. It's not a series of planned meetings. It's when God shows up. It's when the Holy Ghost shows up. Hallelujah. When you go to the grocery store and you go to the schools, amen, and you can't help but tell somebody about Jesus, or you go through the school hallways and you see scripture posted all up and down the hallways, or you have students prophesying over another student, or you're at work, God is moving at your workplace. To me, that is revival. It goes outside of the four walls of this building and it goes into the highways and the byways and proclaims who Jesus is. That's revival. Revival began in the early church. The Bible teaches us that after Jesus' resurrection, he was seen of the disciples 40 days. Amen. He was seen of them for 40 days. Amen. But before he ascended to the right hand of the Father, he told the people, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 6, that there were 500 men and women standing there gazing at Jesus as he ascended to the right hand of the Father. And he told him, he said, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem. I want you to wait for the promise of my Father. And you just wait, and when the promise comes, you shall be witnesses unto me. See, that's what revival, when it happens. You can't help but tell somebody everywhere you go about who Jesus is and how great our God is. Amen. So it started with 500 and they sat there in the upper room, and I don't believe they were sitting there on Twitter or Facebook. I don't believe they were sitting there talking about, well, did you remember what Judas did? He was such an evil man. You know, I believe they were there for those 10 days worshiping and praising God. I don't care where my next food comes from. I don't care if I even eat today. I want to see the promise of the glory of God. 10 days they waited, praying, weeping, seeking God, just waiting for his presence to drop. I don't believe they were sitting there thinking about, man, because they probably, I don't know, they probably didn't have little fancy clocks or watches in their upper room, but they probably wouldn't say, man, it's getting dark. Is God going to show up today? You know, I believe they sat there and said, God, I don't care how long it takes. We want you. But see, it started with 500, but throughout those 10 days, some lost faith because it narrowed down to 120. But when the 120, the remnant was ready. See, God is looking for a remnant of people. He's looking for a residue of people to fill with his glory. That says, I will not compromise the true values of the Word of God. Because in this generation, we have people who are trying to combine Christianity and Islam together and form Chrislam. We can't even define marriage anymore. We have preachers standing all across this nation this morning saying there's more ways to heaven than Jesus Christ. But I will proclaim what Peter did. There is no no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. That name which is Jesus Christ. Allah didn't die for me. Muhammad didn't die for me. But Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, was born in poverty so we could be made rich. I know it's not Easter, but I believe we can still celebrate the resurrection of Jesus because we're not dead. Woo, I said we're not dead. We're alive because He is alive. Oh, Jesus. Come on, praise Him for His resurrection. Woo. Let's just take a few seconds and just praise Him. Hey, let's just take like a 10-20 second praise break and just praise Him for just a moment and just thank Him. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the resurrection. Thank Him that revival is here in Bell County, Kentucky. Jesus. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. 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 So they waited. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I'm not here to preach a Pentecostal message. Because listen, the greatest mistake of any revival in Christian history is when we make a religion or a denomination out of a movement. Getting ahead of myself, I'll get there. But I'm not here to preach Pentecostalism. I'm here to preach what? The word says, Acts 2, 1 through 4 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. They had a sound mind. They were in unity. And that unity is what preceded revival. Amen. But when the Holy Ghost came, cloven tongues of fire set upon each of them, and a wind began to blow in that place, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, what happened at the Tower of Babel was corrected in just a moment. And one day when the Holy Ghost showed up, because these men were Galileans, they were uneducated. They came from poor backgrounds. Amen. But you see, these Galileans spoke 17 different languages and dialects, because when Pentecost had come, Jewish people were coming from all over the world to come to Jerusalem on Pentecost for this feast, and they spoke other languages. So when these Galileans were praising God and singing to God with one mind, one accord, and God came down, people began to look and say, hey, I can understand what he's saying, and I can understand what she is saying, because the Holy Ghost had showed up. Amen. So that's what happened. But what people around said, they were amazed that they spoke these other languages so eloquently, because these Galileans probably couldn't speak their language eloquently. Amen. So that's what happened. But there were others looking around saying, these men are drunk on new wine. They're full of new wine. They're drunk on new wine. See, that's what happens when revival shows up. You have skepticism and you have critics. In this religious community that we live in, people are not going to like what we do. Amen. They're not going to like it. They're not going to like lights and cameras all up in you in Bell Central. But my question is, what did you do in Bell Central? No, we want the kids to just be religious. We don't want them to be saved. Hey. I remember Darlene Bishop preaching one time, and she said, I didn't come out of a world bound by sin to enter into a world bound by religion. Amen. I've come to be converted to Jesus, and I've come to win as many to Jesus as we can. And I know sometimes worship carries on, and some of us might prefer, well, I would rather have 30 minutes of worship, and I would rather have a 20-minute sermon on how I can live a better life and what can make me feel better about myself and how I can make more money and tell me how awesome I am, and tell me how handsome I am. Tell me how beautiful I am. That's what I'd rather have, but revival is ugly. When David's own wife said, "Why are you dancing like that for the Lord? Why are you doing that, all that dancing and stuff?" Said, "Listen, because every 18 feet he was killing another animal, dancing and praising God. Why are you dancing like that, David? Listen, because I took the place of your father as king." Woo, y'all missed that. Hallelujah. He said, "Because I took the place of your father. I came from the shepherd's field. Now I'm here king. And God put me in this place. And I'm going to praise him. You don't know my story, but my God gets the glory." Oh, Jesus. It's not customized to what you want. Amen. If it is, it's not revival, because revival gets you to prayer. Revival gets you to fasting. Revival causes you to lose sleep. Revival causes you to lose some meals. Amen. Revival causes your songs to sound a little different. It may carry worship, may carry a little bit longer than normal. And we got to get it to a place where we're no longer looking at the watch saying, "Man, this NBA playoff game, it comes on here in just about an hour. I've got to go watch so-and-so play." What about the kingdom of God? You know, they got DVR now. You can watch that here in just a little bit. Can we just give some time to the Lord? Amen. Can we get to a place where we lose sight of our agendas and what we want? Because this is not about a self-centered Christianity. This is about a self-denial Christianity. He said, "If you want to follow me, you must deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow him." You got to deny your selfish wants. But I want to sing. But I want to play music. Why don't he ever let me preach? And why don't he ever give me? No, we got quiet. Why don't I get to sing the lead song? And why don't I get to lead the drama team? And why do I not get to head up the prison ministry? And why do I not? Why? What about me? You got some things to die to. Revival is not about us. It's about Jesus. Is this okay? I may get some criticism preaching this message, but I'm going to preach the truth. Amen. Get God out of the box. So this is what happened. Because when we look at the early church and we look at what Peter did, because first things first, when he heard the criticism and he heard the skepticism, he didn't go to the people and say, "Hey, will you all stop speaking in tongues? You're going to offend some people." He didn't go over and say, you know what? They're talking about us. We might not have canceled this upper room experience right quick. No. Peter said, "Give me a platform. It's time to preach." And he said, "This is what happened." He said, "It was prophesied, it is written, that in the last days I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And he began to preach and he began to proclaim the word, and they were cut to their hearts. And this is what he said. He was humble, but he was bold, because this was a backslidden preacher. Do you know that? Do you realize it was a preacher that fell into sin, that messed up, that denied Jesus when he was on his way to a cross, was now restored, and now on the day of Pentecost, it wasn't John the Beloved, it wasn't Thomas, it wasn't Matthew or Mark, it was Peter that rose up, because when Jesus told him, he said, "Satan desires to have you and sift you as wheat, but," he said, "I have went to the Father, and I have prayed on your behalf, and you will be converted to me." So when Peter rose up and said, "Upon this rock, the church has been built, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it," he began to preach. He was humble, but he was bold. That's the way the church has got to be. We are not untouchable to sin. We're not better than anybody else. Whether you're on the front line or on the back pew, ain't nobody better than nobody up in here. Amen. We are the same. We serve the same Jesus, don't we? We're striving to go to the same heaven, aren't we? Amen. We're not all on the maybe the same page spiritually, but I've got news for you. We've all sinned and come short. But the moment that pride rises up and we fall back and we fall back into sin, amen, we give room for the enemy to work and we raise ourselves up in pride, the revival will fall and crumble. Amen. We can't give no room to sin. We got to say, we want to preach Jesus. And we want to boldly preach His name. Because that's what Peter did. His message was repent. You want revival? Repent. Step one. Repent. Because if you feel like you're perfect, you're not in revival. Repentance is not apologizing for getting caught in the act of wrongdoing. Repentance is turn away from the life that you're living in order to follow Jesus Christ. It's not, God, I'm sorry I got caught in my sin. Amen. It's amazing how people, they're just sorry when they get caught. They would have done it for years if they wouldn't have got caught. But sin will catch up to you. Amen. Sin will find you out if you're not careful. Hey, do you realize, and I would say 99.9% of the time when a preacher gets caught into some big public sin, it probably wasn't the first time. Amen. Because God gives you grace to repent. But when pride rises up in leadership and we think, well, we can do whatever we want to do. I got my six-figure salary from the church. I can go do whatever I want. I got my fancy car, fancy home. I'm over here on the road and nobody will know a thing. Amen. And you get caught in that sin and it becomes public and known. And all of a sudden a whole ministry is destroyed and people are confused and turn away from Jesus Christ. Self-centeredness will kill a move of God. We've got to repent. Every revival that you read about in history began with prayer and fasting. Amen. Every revival. It doesn't matter if it's the Moravian revival, Azusa Street revival, Pensacola. Amen. It was prayer and fasting. Amen. Prayer is just communication with God. Fasting is closing your mouth. That's what it literally means, is to shut your mouth. Amen. Some people need to fast from the words they speak. Is this okay? Amen. Amen. Need to fast some of the words you speak. Well, you're complaining about this and you're murmuring about that and you're gossip. Did you see what so-and-so said? Did you see what so-and-so did? They looked at me. They talked. They did this. They did that. Listen, we got to get that thing crucified. We got to fast from that stuff to kill that thing. You fast from something to kill the appetite of it. God, help me, Lord. Prayer. Amen. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Ephesians 6:18 says, we're to always be praying. Amen. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Amen. It's time we go back to effective prayer lives. Prayerlessness will not lead to revival, and prayerlessness will kill a revival. Amen. We've got to pray. God's got to be our focus of our attention. Unity will lead to revival. Amen. Repentance, prayer, and fasting, and unity. Unity, one mind, one accord. Each person finding their own role and purpose. Amen. See, this is what you got to understand. Not everybody in here is called to sing. I wish I was, because I'd sing a lot, because I listen to music all day and I love songs. And I'll sing by myself in the car. And if Jessica ain't home, I might sing by myself, you know. Amen. Because I don't want her going to me. What's that horrible sound coming from bedroom? What's he listening? Oh, no, it's just him singing. No. Some people are calling to sing. Some people are called to preach. Amen. Some people are called to be business leaders. Some people are called to be prophets, just like we was talking about earlier. Some people are called to be teachers and doctors. And see, it's about each person finding their role in unity. Because if all we're chasing is this, listen, this ain't doing nothing for nobody right there. Amen. Ain't doing nothing for nobody. It's just sitting there. Amen. But you know something. If we will die to self and say, God, I don't care if I have to clean toilets in the church bathroom. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. Anything, God. You tell me to do, I'll do it. Amen. Unity, finding your role and purpose, because the Bible says it brings about the sweetest anointing. Amen. Leader, something that starts revival is communion and baptism. See, that ain't talked about a lot, but do you realize the early church, they went from house to house breaking bread, communing with each other. They had communion all the time, every week. Amen. And I like when we do communion here at the church, because that's what starts revival. But it's just a little grape juice, and it's just a little cracker, you know. That's all it is. No, it's not. Let me tell you about it, amen. It's about thinking about the blood that he shed. It's about thinking about the body that was tore for us and wounded and bruised so that we could be healed and we could be saved. You know why communion leads to revival? Because it's all centered upon Jesus. Amen. Communion in church is not about getting a quick snack, amen. It's about Jesus. Amen. It's about Jesus. Baptism symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's why Peter said, repent and be baptized, because it symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Another factor that leads to revival, engaging in biblical truths on cultural and social issues. We can't be silent on issues that matter. Everybody complains. Well, it's just one person took prayer out of school. Just one prayer. One person, you know, and they all talk about it, you know. One person took prayer out of school. But you know what? This is what's the amazing thing is. Where was the church at? We're always the victim. We got a victim mentality. Well, did you know what so-and-so said about me at school? Do you know what so-and-so said about me at my workplace? Do you know what so-and-so did? You know, it's always about everybody else doing. When are we going to war in the spirit and overcome this thing and fight against the enemy and be who God has called us to be? Because we are not defeated. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Amen. Is this okay? Amen. I'm just trying to get you there. Effective evangelism and discipleship. I'm listening to this stuff. I hope some of you maybe kind of jot this in your memory or jot it down or something, because we're going to go back and realize, hey, this is how we don't let revival die in this church. Because revivals are not meant to end. Revival is a spirit. It's not having a bunch of planned services. It's a spirit. We need effective evangelism and discipleship. He said, go ye out, not come you all, as we've heard Joe Farmer and different ones say. Go ye out into all the world and preach the gospel. And when we win people to Jesus, we don't need to go and say, hey, you're on your own. Go ahead, you know. Go ahead, do your thing, man. You know how to live for Jesus. And we use all these churchy words. You know, you've been redeemed and all that. And they probably don't even know what redeemed means. Probably don't even know what salvation means. Do you realize now they've been raised in church? Amen. Some people don't even know who Jesus really is or what he did. Amen. They just know people are offended by him when they say his name at school in different places. It's all they know. But we need effective evangelism and discipleship. We can't lose who's won to the Lord. We've got to teach them, hey, this is what Jesus did. This is what your purpose is. This is what God's going to do in your life. So on and so forth. We need to speak over people and train them up in the work of the Lord. Amen. God-fearing leaders. We need God-fearing leaders. Amen. We need to be humble. Amen. And bold. We need holiness restored in our pulpits. Amen. He said, be holy for I am holy. Amen. Churches that don't have any holiness. I'm not talking about denomination. Holiness is not a dress code. Amen. Holiness is a standard to be like Jesus. Romans 1:4 said, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. Holiness is a spirit. Amen. Praise God. Loving God and loving people. That's what leads to revival. That's what keeps revival going. Communion. Focusing on Jesus. Unity. Doing everything we can to come together and be in agreement. That's why Pastor Odie says so many times, let's be together. Let's come into agreement over this. Because God moves in agreement. God moves and answers those prayers of agreement. Amen. The early church, they loved God and loved people. They had a community of goods. They all sold their stuff and gave to each other. And they lived as a community. Wow. That's what they did. Amen. They were that united and they were that in love with their brothers and sisters. That's what led to revival. That's what kept revival going. We've got to love each other in the kingdom.